So if you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to the book of Exodus, there in your Old Testament, Exodus chapter 19, be taking our text from tonight. Lord willing, be looking at verses 1 through 6 on a message I've titled from our text, I Bear You on Eagle's Wings, Exodus 19. When you get there, if you're able to stand, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word, Exodus 19. Starting with verse 1. And here the Bible says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, that same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain. And Moses went, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Father, we thank you, God, once again for reading your word tonight. I'm praying now, God, you anoint me for just a few minutes to be able to preach on this text, God, that you be glorified. Keep me out of the way tonight, Lord, let you be seen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. My eyes are all watered up here and I can't see real good, but Lord will help us here in this. I bear you on eagle's wings. If you underline things in your Bible, underline those words there in verse 4. I bear you on eagle's wings. And we're going to be talking about that tonight. Here in our opening text, we find the children of Israel. They have been, of course, led out of Egypt's bondage. And it's been about 3 months since that happened. And this is a very pivotal time in the lives of the Jewish race. God is now ready to give them the law, which he will do in the next chapter, as Moses will go up on top of that mountain and God will give him the Ten Commandments. He will write them with his own finger on those tablets of stone. And Moses will bring them down there to the children of Israel. He'll write two copies of them because one will be broken. But this is the time when God's going to give them the law, and he's brought them to this place for a purpose in their life, but not only a purpose in their life, but the purpose for the furthering of his kingdom. And so Sinai, this wilderness of Sinai, the mountain was named after the wilderness of Sinai, and that's where this event takes place. A lot of great things have happened in this particular place, on this particular mountain. In this particular region, God has used it very much. They're going to encamp there for about 11 months and I believe 5 days, something like that. And they will then move on to Kadesh Barnea from there. But God, in the meantime, is going to use this place as a time of testing, a time of giving his law, a time of informing them and giving them commandments of what he expects them to do as his children. Well, if you remember, it was here that Moses first met the Lord there in that burning bush as he was standing up there. There in Acts chapter 7, verse 30, the Bible says, And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. So Sinai was the mountain and the wilderness that was named after. Moses called it the mountain of gods, what Moses called it. If we were to read chapter 20 of Exodus, we would read those Ten Commandments that God gave them. Don't overlook the fact that God had a plan for these people at that time and for his purpose. And God always has a time and a plan and a purpose for each person. You are not exempt from God's plan. He has a plan for everybody. It wasn't just a random place that God decided, hey, this looks like a good place to line everybody up. No, God had this place in mind all along. He knew that they would be there on that certain time for that certain time period. God had chosen a place for each one of them. Listen, he's chosen a place for each one of us tonight. He's got a job for you to do. He's got a gift that he's gave you. If you're saved tonight, God has given you a gift of some kind to glorify him and to glorify his name. And it's how you use it is what's important. You need to be using the gift God gave you because he has a purpose for it. So we must be ready and willing to be used by God in the place that he chooses for us. I was willing and obedient to obey God to come to this church when He called me to come here. When you called me as your pastor 8 years ago, I was obedient to the call, and I thank God for bringing me to this place for this purpose to be your pastor for the past 8 years. I don't know why He let me know it was time for it to end. I don't know why He's calling me out of here. I know He has another purpose for me somewhere else or whatever it is, but God's called me for a purpose, and we must be obedient to the call God gives us. But we must also remember, we have to step out. When God says to step out, you must do that. You see, a lot of times we rob ourselves of God's blessings. We rob other people of God's blessings when we don't do what God tells us to do. And I've been guilty of it. I've sat on the pew before, and knowing that God was calling me to do a certain thing, and refused. Well, God, I'm too shy. I'm too backwards. God, I'm not good at that. Lord, you know I can't lead singing, or I can't preach. I can't teach the Bible. I can't do this and do that. I was old Moses standing there on the side of the mountain. But God, you know I can't do that. And then finally, God broke me, and He showed me I've got a place, a plan, and a purpose for you, and I'm going to make it happen. But you must be obedient. Listen, He has that for you too. It may not be preaching. It may not be teaching. It may not be one of those biggies everybody thinks about. Everybody thinks of those big things to do for God. Listen, God needs things done that are small things. Things that go unnoticed. Things that people don't really recognize that's going on. Realize it. Hey, it may not seem like a big deal to you to change the church sign. I let it go for a long time. I was too lazy to change it. Finally, somebody did this past week, and I'm thankful for that. Hey, that's just a small thing, but it's a great blessing. And so there's a something small. If it's small or big, God's got a plan for you. There in verse 3 it says, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." Well, Moses, being just like he always has, being led by God, goes up into that mountain. God says for him to say, and it says, to the house of Jacob. Now we know Jacob, he named Israel. And so from here on out throughout the Bible, when you see that name Jacob mentioned, he's referring to Israel. And you'll find the time of Jacob's trouble. He's talking about the time of Israel's trouble. He's talking about his people, that race of Jewish people, those Hebrews. Well, since God has called Moses to come up there to tell him what he wants his people to do. In verse 4 it says, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." Well, now God tells Moses that he wants him to remind the people where they come from. Hey, think back a few months ago when you were over there as slaves in Egypt's bondage. Back when they were putting the hay and the mud on your back, and they were doubling your work, and you were having to be slaves to them. Think about that, how I brought you out of there. And of course, their minds are going to go back to the parting of the Red Sea, when all those Jewish people came out of Egypt and they went over across on dry ground, when Moses lifted up his staff and God parted the waters, and they all walked across there on dry ground. Not a one of them sunk. Not one of them got down in the mud. I've heard some people say, well, you know, they probably were stomping around the mud. No, they wasn't. God dried that ground up. They walked over on dry ground. And so when they got over on the other side, then the next thing you know, old Pharaoh and his army comes marching along behind them. They get out in the middle of that thing. God says, splash. They all went down and drowned, friends. And so God says, you go remind the children of Israel what I've done for them. And so then he makes the following statement, "And how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." Now, that in itself is a beautiful statement right there. And you always wonder, what in the world does that mean? What does it mean that God bared us on eagle's wings? Well, we look at that statement and automatically we assume that it means God took care of them. Well, that's a good assumption. But that's not good enough. We need to look deeper down to the Word of God and examine it and understand, what in the world is God talking about here? What's He mean? Well, as I was studying through this, I wanted to find out a little bit more of what this could possibly be, and so I started studying about eagles. And there's a lot of interesting things about eagles. I've got a former classmate. I went to Gibbs High School, and there's a man there, and now he's the guy that takes care of the park out in West Tennessee, Real Foot Lake. He's the guy over Real Foot Lake. And he has all these eagles, and so he goes around showing them to people. He carries it on his arm, that thing sits on his arm and takes off and all this stuff. But they're very interesting creatures. And I found in the Bible that God, 34 different times the word eagle or eagles is used in Scripture. And so an eagle, we all know, is a very majestic creature. It's different than the rest of the birds. Now, I like a hawk real well. I love to watch a hawk. There's one that crosses over here on Bailey Road. You go down to the end toward the, where the greenhouse used to be, you'll see him. He'll swoop down across the road like that. I love to see him. But the eagles, they're so different. As they spread those massive wings out and they just glide, it's like it's no problem at all as they float upon the wind. But over in Isaiah 40 and 31, the Bible says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Listen, for its size, the eagle is considered one of the strongest animals on the face of the earth. There's over 60 different species of eagles. Did you know that? There's not in the United States. We've got two kinds. We've got the, what is the golden eagle and the bald eagle. We know those two. And you're not supposed to do anything to them bald eagles now. They were extinct there for a while. But eagles, though they're birds of prey, they're also very majestic. And seeing one in the sky with its wings spread out just thrills you when you see it. In fact, we read in the Bible how the eagle was a symbol of deity. Many times it was used. They would emblazon the eagles, an image of an eagle on their headpieces when they would go to war. Sometimes they would carry them on a staff with an eagle on top of it. These are a symbol of deity. And you may recall in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 10, how Ezekiel had a vision of God, and it was a symbol of spinning wheels. You remember all those things that Ezekiel saw? And he saw faces, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, the face of a man, and a face of an eagle. These were all symbols that he saw representing the things of God. The lion, of course, was the authority. The ox was the service. The man represents the highest form of God's creation. And the eagle, though, was the symbol of God's deity. And so it's what all those symbols meant. Well, here in our text in verse 4, the Lord said, "And how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself." So now the Lord's comparing what he's done, his work, to what the work of an eagle is. Well, over in the book of Deuteronomy 32 and 11 and 12, God's speaking about leading his people, in particular Jacob. And the Bible says this in Deuteronomy 32 and 11. He said, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there were no strange god with him." One thing as I was studying about these eagles, it was very interesting. When a baby eaglet is in the nest and it's time for them to get out, there's some action that takes place. You see, the eagle's not going to get out on its own all by itself. You know, they want to stay in the nest where it's comfortable. Everything they know is around that nest. They wait for their food to come. Mama comes and brings the food, drops it down their mouth in the nest. So they've got no reason to leave the nest. So when it comes time for them to get out of there, the mom and dad has to do something to get those eagles out of there. So the mother starts fluttering her wings all over those baby eagles down in that nest. She's stirring up the nest. So she stirs it, makes it very uncomfortable for them to sit there. So they're moving around everywhere. And then the father eagle is up above the nest, flapping his wings over the top of the nest like that. So you got the mother eagle down there, she's fluttering around. You got the father eagle up on top, he's fluttering his wings around. And so these eagles now, they want to get out of there. They want to leave the nest. It's not comfortable for them. It's not like it used to be. And so this forces them to leave the nest. And after all, that's what they're intended to do. Their purpose is to get out of the nest and go about and do what they're supposed to do. And so eventually the eaglets will come out of their nest. They begin by coming over the top, and then they start falling. They don't know how to fly. So they get off the nest and they start falling. They're like, "Oh, this is not good." And so what happens? That father eagle comes down. He swoops down and catches that eagle and glides along the air with it until that eagle learns how to fly on its own. And so that little baby eagle eventually will start fluttering, and then it'll take off flying. That is so beautiful to think about. And so when you see God saying that he bore us on like eagle's wings, that's God. He's taking care of us. Listen, sometimes he's got to stir up our nest and get us out of our comfort zone so that we'll step out and do what he intends for us to do. And sometimes the only way he can do that is to stir us up enough to make us uncomfortable to kick us out of there. And then he can use us. Hey, if you just sit all the time stagnant in one spot, you never grow. You just sit there and you sit there and you sit there and you're not doing what you need to do. And even though you know God is calling you to do something, maybe you're too afraid to step out. So God sometimes causes things to happen, stirs you up, makes you uncomfortable, and it forces you out of that comfort zone. And so we tend to get too lax sometimes. And so God, in essence, flutters His wings around and makes us want to fly. And, well, why does He do this? Look at the end of verse 4. It says, "And brought you unto Myself." The whole purpose of getting us out of the nest, out of the comfort zone, is so that He can bring us to Him. That's the whole thing of it. And I know I harp on this a lot, but one of the things I believe is lacking in most Christians' life is their daily walk with God, is their sanctification process. I feel like that most people today think that church time's the only time that they're supposed to do anything for God. You know, I'll come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, sometimes Wednesday nights, and that's my time with God. No, friends, God wants you 24/7, 365 days a year, and even on leap years. And so there's never a time where you take a vacation from God. He wants you all the time. And so, a lot of people, they're not getting fed. They don't stay in that sanctification process. They live like the world. They act like the world. They talk like the world. They do the world's things and then still expect for God to use them in some way. He doesn't use people that are living in sin. He does not do that. Listen, you must live for the Lord. And like Pastor Sexton always said in seminary, it all begins with God. It all begins with God. Getting saved is only the beginning of your relationship with Christ. From there on, friends, we're to be growing more under the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, to conform into the image of God, God's Son. And so, I like how the Apostle Paul puts it. Listen to what he says over in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Paul says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Now, Paul's not teaching a work salvation. That's not what he means. He don't mean work and work and work till you're saved. What he means is, now that you're saved, you need to work out your salvation. You need to do the things that God wants you to do. You need to live pleasing to God. You need to put on the old man, take off the old man, and put on the new man. And so we have got to walk with God. How sad to one day have to stand before the Lord and explain why we decided we didn't need to walk with God. And there'll be some people that have to do that. I believe there's legitimately saved people that doesn't walk with God, and they live a life of disobedience, and they will stand before Him one day and have to answer for that. And so, listen, it'll be sad one day, and people will stand there and say, "Well, you know what, I went to church every time the door was open." Well, that's good. That's good, but what did you do for the Lord, you know? Did you ever leave the nest? Well, I gave money every time they passed the offering plate around. Well, that's good too, but that didn't get you off the nest. Or they say something like, "I know every word to Amazing Grace." Well, that's good as well, but that does not get you off the nest. What does God have to do to get us off the nest? What does He have to do to get us to move? What does He have to do to make you so uncomfortable that you're willing to go out and be obedient to Him? Sometimes it's not fun, the things that have to happen. And so we look around us and see other people, and we think things such as, "Well, God sure has blessed them with a gift. Boy, he can sure sing, or he can preach, or he can teach, or she can sing, or she can play an instrument," and all this stuff. And you think God's gave all these people gifts except for you. Listen, God gives each one of us a gift to be used. And so we need to be diligent in using that gift for His glory. All of His children have this, and it's to fulfill His purpose. There's no doubt people right now sitting in this building right now that has not been using the gift God gave them. I don't know what it is. You might know what it is. If you don't, you need to be seeking God's face to what that gift is. But probably you understand what it is, but yet you're not willing to do it. And so stop thinking that only these spiritual gifts are the only things, like the singing, preaching, teaching. Those things are wonderful. But there's a lot of other gifts that God gives us to be used. Let me read you right quick. We'll be finished. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Paul talking to the saved people there in Rome. And this is what he says, Romans 12 and 4. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth." You remember that from this morning? We talked about that, exhorting one another. And so that's comforting one another and giving, helping our fellow man, our brother and sister in Christ, giving them an extra step there, an exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Some people's gift may be mercy. There's some people today don't have much of that. Your gift may be just showing the grace of God to somebody. Some people don't show their grace very much. You know, we're always willing to tell everybody how much God gave us His grace, but yet a lot of us are lacking in showing grace to others. Listen, your gift may be the gift of encouragement, exhorting, or giving, or comforting. All these things are things that God gives people to do to bring us closer to Him. The Lord wants us to use those gifts for His glory. And so He stirs our nest. He flutters His wings. And then He bears us up. He don't leave you out there alone. That's the thing. The eagles don't push the little ones over the edge and watch them splat on the ground. No, they come swooping down and protect them and bear them up on eagle's wings. The Lord is not ready to just push you out and let you die on your own. He's going to be there with you. Listen, He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. He'll go with you all the way. And so my question to you tonight is, are you satisfied with just sitting in the nest? Are you like one of those little baby eagles sitting there with your mouth open? Is that you tonight? Or are you willing to be obedient to the Lord? Are you okay not doing anything for the Lord? Or do you want to be pleasing to Him and step out, get out of that nest and go about the Lord's business? Are you willing to explain to the Lord why you never left the nest? Are you willing to stand there before Him and say, "Well, Lord, you know, I just, that's the way I was. That was my personality. That's how you made me, God." Listen, God's gave you something to do. And you need to get with it and start doing it. You just can't imagine some of the blessings that you'll receive when you start doing God's will. And listen, it may not be something you ever thought you'd be doing. I never thought I'd be preaching or pastoring or anything like that. I really never did. I just assumed I'd be singing bass in the gospel quartet. That's what I assumed I'd be doing. And God chose otherwise. And so it may not be the road that you thought you'd be on, but it'll be a road that God had made for you. He's planned it out. He's plotted it out. He's got His map out there. He knows exactly where He wants you to be. All you've got to do is say, "Yes, Lord, I'm willing to step out of the nest and do whatever You'd have me to do. I'll be obedient. I'll be faithful, God, to whatever You'd have me do." If you can do that tonight, friends, it'll make a whole world of difference in you. It'll help the church. It'll help your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But most importantly, it'll be pleasing to God, and it'll be what He wants you to do. Well, I'd like for everybody to stand tonight. If you ladies will come and get on the instruments. I don't remember the invitation song. Let me find it there. 107 in the church hymnal, "I Must Tell Jesus." If somebody wants to lead that out while they play it, and let's all stand. I want to pray, and if you have a need tonight for anything, whether it be salvation, a backslidden condition, maybe you need to just come down and say, "Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to get out of the nest and go about Your business and do what You want me to do." Would that be tonight for you? If it is, would you come to this altar as we're praying right now? Heavenly Father, God, we come to You, Lord, just thanking You for the message. Lord, You know each person's heart and mind in this building tonight. God, You have a purpose and a gift and a reason for every one of us. And God, we're just praying tonight for that one that needs assurance. They need You to help them with it. And God, if You'll lead them to this altar tonight, let us pray with them. Lord, whatever their need may be. And God, You know all. Lord, help us tonight. Help us with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.